Previously unreleased music and more from the original festival tapes, plus recent interviews with the voices of participants and musicians who attended the festival, including Country Joe of Country Joe and the Fish and Jorma Kaukonen of the original Jefferson Airplane. That's August 16th starting at noon for KBOO's celebration of Woodstock 50 years later. Tune in.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Bonds Over Borders on Tuesday, August 27th at 6 p.m. at The Cleaners at Ace Hotel in Portland. Bonds Over Borders is a benefit for Innovation Law Lab, a Portland-based organization that works to increase legal access for immigrants at detention centers, both locally and around the country. There will be live stand-up sets from Adam Passy and Dan Weber and live music by Pedro Queriega. Again, that's Bonds Over Borders on Tuesday, August 27th at 6 p.m. at The Cleaners at Ace Hotel, 403 Southwest 10th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
It is a minute past five, and coming up next we have KBOO Evening News. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Grendel's Coffee House, located at East Burnside Street and 8th Avenue in Portland, offering organic coffee, daily soup specials, sandwiches, and more for breakfast and lunch. Open daily until 5 p.m. More information on the Grendel's Facebook page and by phone at 503-595-9550.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Airbnb settles their discrimination lawsuit with three Oregon women.
A New York lawmaker proposes new curriculum on hate symbols.
And in international news, Hong Kong protesters apologize after airport protests turned violent last night.
Good evening. This is KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, August 14th, 2019. I'm Ethan Fry.
And I'm Leslie McLam. Airbnb has settled a lawsuit by three Oregon women who claim that the site allowed rental owners to discriminate against customers based on race. In 2017, Pat Harrington, Carlotta Franklin, and Ebony Price alleged that sharing and requiring the user names and pictures allowed the hosts to discriminate against Black users. In 2018, Airbnb changed their policies so hosts could choose not to require photos, and they would only be able to see photos after they had accepted a booking. In 2016, a Harvard Business School study found that Airbnb guests with names that sounded African American were 16% less likely to be accepted by a host than those with white-sounding names. Airbnb responded with an apology and began requiring users to accept a non-discrimination pledge. Recently, Airbnb and their attorneys said they would, quote, review and update the way profile names are displayed to hosts as part of the booking process. Airbnb declined to expand upon their statement.
It's free to fish, crab, or clam this Saturday and Sunday anywhere in Oregon. Fishing licenses or tags are not required for either residents or non-residents. Other fishing regulations apply, including size restrictions, bag limits, and closures. If you're fishing for salmon, rockfish, or steelhead, you can check the recreation guidelines online to find the latest regulations.
Oregon's leaders are considering replacing the Interstate 5 bridge next year. On Wednesday, House Speaker Tina Kotek and Senate President Peter Courtney appointed eight lawmakers to join a committee that would discuss the bridge plans. The Interstate 5 bridge is between Washington and Oregon. Washington is also committed to setting up an office dedicated to planning and engineering for the bridge project. Speaker Kotek said the process will take some time. Quote, it's going to be slow. We're not going to have a full bridge for 2 weeks. The new bridge would cost $13.2 million, but Kotek believes the current bridge is a safety issue. Other solutions include expanding additional transit. The committee is set to meet in September.
Far-right, white supremacist, and white nationalist groups are expected to converge in Portland this Saturday the 17th at the downtown waterfront. In response, Rose City Antifa are planning a peaceful counter-rally at the same location and are providing vegan brownies. Portland leaders are planning a major law enforcement presence at the rallies, stating that none of the city's nearly 1,000 police officers will have the day off. FBI agents and Oregon State Police will also be on hand, and Mayor Ted Wheeler has stated that he may ask Governor Kate Brown to call in the National Guard. They are not providing brownies. According to the Associated Press, the hate groups heading to Portland are the same mix that were involved in the murder of Heather Heyer, an anti-fascist in Charlottesville, Virginia, at the Unite the Right rally back in 2017.
Today in Portland, Oregon, Mayor Ted Wheeler held a press conference as the city braces for protests between far-right activists and Antifa.
But in the last years, as you're all aware, we enjoy the day. That's why this space is fondly known as Portland's living room. But on occasion, some people have come here with a very different agenda. They've started using our square and the rest of our downtown as a place to spread their hate and intolerance, to spread their fear, and on occasion, to perpetrate acts of violence. Now, you know that Portland has a long and proud history of supporting the right to assembly and the right to free speech. It's ingrained in our DNA. It's part of Portland's soul. We've protested war. We've protested hate. We've protested racism. We've protested sexism. And we have long been at the forefront of activism in this community. But in the last years, as you're all aware, things have started to take a darker turn. People have been abusing that right, using the guise of free speech to commit acts of violence. Violence is not a civil right. Right now, we're all witness to a national rhetoric that has whipped racialized violence into a frenzy, causing harm, causing pain, causing fear for many people here in our community. So hear me loud and clear. To those of you who plan on using Portland on August 17th as a platform to spread your hate, you are not welcome here. To those who promote violence during otherwise peaceful demonstrations, you are not welcome here. To those who perpetrate racism, sexism, bigotry, you are not welcome here. And to any white supremacists who are planning on coming to our community on August 17th, you are not welcome here. Together as one, we've asked everyone that you see gathered here with me today to come together and rally around our beautiful city. This is the largest coalition that this city has seen in years. We stand together as elected leaders, faith leaders, business leaders, civil rights leaders, school leaders, sports leaders, labor leaders, federal leaders, and many, many more. United as one, we declare this is our city. This is our home. We don't want your violence here.
A new homeless center for adult women and couples will open tomorrow in southeast Portland. Located at the corner of Foster Road and 61st Avenue, the Laurelwood Center includes a medical clinic, kitchen, laundry room, and an outdoor area for people to walk their pets. Neighborhood residents had initially raised concerns because the center was located close to schools, homes, community centers, and libraries. But according to Commissioner Jessica Peterson, the city made sure local voices were heard when designing the space. In a statement, Peterson said, quote, "It wasn't always a completely smooth process, but I am proud to say we maintained mutual respect and trust through our time together." The Laurelwood Center aims to help unsheltered people and to provide services for housing referrals, employment, and healthcare. The facility can accept 20 people per day until all beds are filled.
AARP is looking for volunteers for its free tax aid program for the 2020 tax season. This year, the program helped Oregonians receive more than $47 million in refunds. Althea Billings has more on the story.
The nation's largest free tax aid program is looking for volunteers in Oregon. For more than 50 years, the AARP Foundation Tax Aid Program has assisted people with low and moderate incomes file their taxes. More than 1,000 volunteers helped 45,000 Oregonians file their 2018 returns this year. Bob Bruce, AARP's Oregon State Coordinator for Tax Aid, says despite changes to the code that some believe have simplified it, folks still find filing taxes confusing and frustrating. With the program, filers get one-on-one attention.
The program provides a way of personally helping individual families with their taxes, and in some cases, we help educate taxpayers about credits that they don't even know that they're eligible for. So it's a very satisfying experience for volunteers.
Bruce says some commonly overlooked programs include credits for childcare, parents sending kids to college, and the earned income tax credit for low-income families. On 2018 returns, volunteers helped Oregonians receive more than $11 million in earned income tax credits and more than $47 million in refunds overall. AARP is recruiting through the end of October. Bruce says they're looking to fill a variety of roles, including people with computer expertise, management of clients, and translators. While there were nearly 130 sites across Oregon this year, Bruce says there's still a need for more workers.
We would like to be able to serve more areas of the state because we know there's a need. Our difficulty is that we simply do not have enough volunteers, particularly in the rural areas where we would like to provide more services.
Before the season starts, volunteers complete tax preparation training and IRS certification. Folks interested in volunteering can head to AARP's website. For KBOO Community Radio and the Oregon News Service, I'm Althea Billings.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for news from the Boo. At 6, it's the wildlife, then at 7, it's Hard Rock Radio. Tonight's weather will be a full moon with increasing clouds and a low of 61. Tomorrow's weather will start cloudy and become mostly sunny with a high of 82. Today in history, in 2003, a major outage knocked out power across the eastern United States and parts of Canada. Beginning at 4:10 p.m., 21 power plants shut down in just 3 minutes, affecting over 50 million people. The quote of today is from Jewish-American poet Emma Lazarus. "Here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles."
KBOO News poet Dan Raphael is feeling a little more manipulated than usual.
"This feels like a setup, a teaser trailer, warning demonstrators right and left 2 weeks ahead that if they don't behave, so they'll do what? Willie Week ran several pages on the Antifa. Events are canceled. People warned to stay out of downtown. 100 groups met at Pioneers Square to prepare. Is this Portland? Don't we have protests all the time? Are we auditioning for a new TV series? What if some right-wing group shows up and everyone, including the media, ignores them? What if Antifa activists to spend more time teaching self-defense, organization, and media skills. The opposite of fascism is the freedom to realize potential. Whose streets? A warm summer weekend's coming, not too hot yet. Yes, we reject fascism, but the folks coming to town are shadows of shadows, not worth our attention. Enjoy your weekend. I hope Mayor Ted and Chief Outlaw are disappointed, paying thousands of overtime for nothing. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
Today, the New York State court system set aside 45 judges to deal exclusively with child sex abuse lawsuits. The New York Child Victims Act was signed earlier this year and expands the way those who were sexually abused as children can use the legal system to address it. Starting today, adult survivors can sue abusers or institutions no matter how long ago the abuse took place. The law also extends the limitations of the child sex abuse charges up to 28 years. 45 judges are preparing to review the lawsuits. Lawsuits are pending against the Boy Scouts, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Jeffrey Epstein, to name just a few.
A new survey by the Public Religions Research Institute confirmed what many already know to be true. The majority of Americans do not want a total ban on abortion. The Institute interviewed over 40,000 individuals in all 50 states and found that only 15% of participants were in favor of illegal abortions in all cases. Overall, 54% of those surveyed favored the right to legal abortions, a statistic that has remained consistent since 2014. Earlier this year, Alabama and Missouri passed some of the most restrictive anti-abortion laws in the country. Both states even prohibit abortion in the case of rape or incest. In Alabama, the Human Life Protection Act will prohibit virtually all abortions beginning in October of this year. Additionally, in both states, doctors who perform the procedure could face criminal prosecution and jail time. Despite these new bans, the survey found that only 16% of those from Alabama and 19% of Missouri's residents feel that abortion should be illegal in all cases. The sponsors of the Alabama bill anticipate a lawsuit that reaches the U.S. Supreme Court in hopes of having the high court overturn Roe versus Wade.
Wall Street took another 700-point loss today, adding to worries of a recession. Unlike last week's dives sparked by Chinese currency exchange rates, today's dip comes from an announcement that the yield on the 10-year Treasury note is lower than the 2-year rate. This yield inversion has preceded every major downturn over the past 5 decades, with today's drop being the first one since the Wall Street crash of 2007. Trump's decision yesterday to delay his planned tariffs on Chinese goods until December 15th gave the market a surge, but that small gain and more went away today. Further intensifying fears of a recession is that the Trump administration appears unwilling to take the steps necessary to combat a serious downturn, such as spending money on government initiatives like an infrastructure program.
Stacey Abrams won't be running for office in 2020, but she's promoting a program to make sure that every vote gets counted in the next general election. "There are only two things stopping us in 2020, Abrams said, "that people have a reason to vote and that they have the right to vote." Titled Fair Fight 2020, Abrams' program plans to staff and fund voter protection teams in battleground states across the country. The teams will work to correct inaccurate voter rolls, address shortages of voting machines and provisional ballots, and standardize the rules around counting absentee ballots. Abrams believes that she won the 2008 Georgia gubernatorial race, but voter suppression driven by Republican Secretary of State Brian Kemp skewed the results. After a bitter campaign, Kemp won the disputed election by 55,000 votes and was declared winner in last year's election.
The hot summer days are increasing air pollution, and scientists have linked dirty air to many different health problems. There are different ways people can protect themselves. Simply changing daily routes and not lighting fires at home can reduce your exposure. Pollution can increase the rates of a heart attack and cause breathing problems. Those who live with polluted air are more likely to die prematurely. When driving, stay clear of the busy roads or even choose a different route. Small changes can reduce pollution exposure by a lot. For pedestrians, exhaust fumes from a car are what researcher Frank Kelly calls a mini gas chamber. Walking on side streets or traveling on bike paths as little as 40 feet from major roads can make a big difference. Using at-home purifiers also provides a lot of benefits. They're useful on the West Coast where smoke and wildfires are frequent, says Dr. Kari Nadu, a director at Stanford University. The best brands is the HEPA purifier. Using these tips can help the environment and your health. One last solution to decrease air pollution can be summed up in one word, according to Dr. Nadeau. Vote.
And now it's time for National Native News, the daily newscast dedicated to Indigenous news, issues, and culture.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Black Hills is hosting an international conference on Indigenous water rights and protection this week in South Dakota. Kelsey Leonard, a lawyer from the Shinnecock Nation, urged Indigenous people at the gathering Tuesday to find their political power and fight for equal protection under international law. Victoria Wicks has the story.
Kelsey Leonard says rather than wait for state and federal legislators to act, Indigenous nations need to create their own laws and push for enforcement of those that already exist. She calls in particular for recognition, under domestic and international law, of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, called for short, UNDRIP. Leonard recognizes that the UN Declaration contains an article that acts as a safety switch, allowing other nation states to ignore it. She says those countries who choose to do so should be called out.
Is the declaration then just a token? And if it is, well then why did you sign? Why did you endorse? Withdraw that endorsement or that signature. If it doesn't mean anything to the United States, to Canada, to the other states that are signatories, then say so, and we can move on to something more. But to keep us in limbo, I think, is also a very violent and colonial act.
Leonard says there are Indigenous people in other parts of the world successfully fighting against unsustainable use of water. And she says the Native people of Turtle Island can learn from them.
We're not going to win every battle, every case. But hopefully with every case that we do win, we really start to build momentum and precedent that allows for us to see a future where UNDRIP is law.
Leonard says there are many excellent young leaders working to protect water and respond to the changes global warming brings, and older generations should hear them out. For National Native News, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Native people joined Arizona Governor Doug Ducey and state lawmakers Tuesday for the signing of a bill which creates a committee to investigate missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. Here's Governor Ducey at the signing ceremony streamed online.
Our goal? To determine how Arizona can reduce and end violence against Indigenous women and girls. This noble objective is something that should bring us all together. And I want to point out that this bill passed unanimously through our legislature, so we already have a strong consensus to build on.
Committee members will include tribal and state representatives, advocates, law enforcement, and lawmakers. They'll examine what the state can do to address violence against Indigenous women and girls. The committee will be launched on August 27th. The Cayuga Nation filed a lawsuit Tuesday against the television network Showtime and creators of its show Billions. The Auburn Citizen reports the lawsuit claims defamation and misappropriation by the show in depicting Indian gaming fraud, bribery, and other immoral behaviors. The suit was filed in New York Supreme Court seeking compensation for damage to reputations and public disgrace. A spokesperson for Billions declined to comment to the news organization. The new leader of the Cherokee Nation, one of the largest tribes in the United States, took office Wednesday. Chuck Hoskin Jr. will serve as principal chief of the Oklahoma tribe for the next 4 years. Prior to being elected, he was the tribe's secretary of state and a council member for 6 years. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
A report by the Canadian Ethics Commissioner has found that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau violated federal conflict of interest rules when he attempted to influence a former minister in the SNC-Lavalin affair. The former Justice Minister and Attorney General Jody Wilson-Raybould accused Trudeau of trying to discourage her from taking on the SNC-Lavalin case, saying her doing so would cost the Canadian jobs and their party votes. The commissioner's report found that Trudeau, quote, undermined and ultimately attempted to discredit the decision. SNC-Lavalin is one of the world's largest engineering companies that employs roughly 9,000 Canadians. The company was accused of bribing Libyan officials to win contracts from 2001 until 2011. In response to the commissioner's findings, Trudeau told members of the press, quote, I take full responsibility, but I cannot apologize for standing up for Canadian jobs.
According to a report from POGO, the Project for Government Oversight, around 40% of the ICE detainees placed in isolation during a recent two-year period have been diagnosed with a mental illness. The report studied 6,000 solitary confinement reports. In the first 15 months of the Trump administration, the number of ICE detainees placed in solitary confinement rose 15%. The study builds on Solitary Voices, a report by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists and others. They found that ICE had isolated thousands of the most vulnerable immigrant detainees, including people with severe mental illness and people with disabilities, for extended periods of time. The UN has advocated that solitary confinement should be banned except in, quote, very exceptional circumstances, with an absolute prohibition in the case of juveniles and people with mental disabilities.
In the Trump administration's latest effort to roll back civil rights, a new rule was formally proposed today that would allow businesses with federal contracts to cite religious objections as a valid reason to discriminate against or fire their workers on the grounds of sex, race, ethnicity, national origin, or LGBTQ status. The ACLU has raised concerns that the rule could also affect pregnant unmarried women or non-religious employees. Nearly one quarter of employees in the United States work for an employer that has a contract with the federal government. The proposal could apply to more than 420 contractors, according to the Federal Register. The Labor Department claims that the rule will save contractors and taxpayers money, as businesses will no longer have to pay for legal expenses when defending themselves in discrimination cases.
A spike in hate crimes across the country has one New York lawmaker seeking a solution. Democratic State Senator Todd Kominsky has introduced a new measure that would require lessons on hate symbols to be integrated into student curriculum in grades 6 through 12. The proposal specifically mentions educating students on symbols like the swastika and noose. The bill states, quote, requiring students to be educated in the significance of these displays of bigotry will go a long way toward fostering a more inclusive and tolerant society for all. Currently, there is nothing in the school curriculum in New York State that requires teachers to discuss the meaning and history of hate symbols. Lawmakers will address this bill in January, and if approved, it will go into effect in September of 2020.
Google employees are demanding that the company refuse an extensive cloud computing contract with U.S. Customs and Border Protection on the grounds that the agency is involved in human rights abuses. A petition being circulated at the company has so far gained 401 signatures from Google employees. The CPB contract is for services intended to streamline operations at U.S. borders and ports across the country. The estimated value of the contract is $980 million. The petition, which can be found on Medium.com, reads, quote, together with ICE and the Office of Refugee Resettlement, they are caging and harming asylum seekers, separating children from parents, illegally detaining refugees and U.S. citizens, and perpetrating a system of abuse and malign neglect that has led to the death of at least 7 children in detention camps. These abuses are illegal under international human rights law and immoral by any standard. We refuse to be complicit.
After weeks of mass demonstrations and 6 days of sit-ins at the Hong Kong airport, yesterday the airport was granted a temporary injunction to clear the terminal of protesters. Passengers were greeted by few demonstrators with signs apologizing for the clashes between protesters and police. While the protests at the airport remained peaceful for several days, on Tuesday evening, several scuffles occurred between travelers and protesters. Two men from mainland China were surrounded and beaten, as one of them was suspected to be a security officer. Instead, he was a journalist from the Communist Party-owned newspaper, the Global Times. One apology sign said, read, "Dear tourists, we're deeply sorry about what happened yesterday. We were desperate and we made imperfect decisions. Please accept our apology." After another social media post read, "We apologize for our behavior, but we are just too scared. Our police shot us, government betrayed us, and social institutions failed us. Please help us." End quote.
A giant penguin fossil was discovered by an amateur paleontologist named Lei Love in New Zealand's South Island. The penguin was as tall as a person. The new species called Crossivalia wiparensis was four times as heavy as the emperor penguin. It was also 40 centimeters taller. New Zealand is known for having oversized extinct birds, including the world's largest parrot. The penguins were believed to have evolved after the dinosaurs disappeared between 66 and 56 million years ago. This was the fifth ancient penguin species discovered from fossils. It's unclear why they disappeared, but researchers believe it was linked to the arrival of seals and whales.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, August 14th, 2019. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Kenzie Beard, Imara Moore, Dan Raphael, and Jason Shermans. The producer is Ray Bodwell, and our engineer is David Kesters. The Director of Evening News and Public Affairs is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Leslie McLam.
And I'm Ethan Fry.